I guess all of us,
hello, there you go.
Guess all of us have to kind of get used to the new place, and don't have a screen here to see where I am, but we will figure it out as we go. You can turn to Matthew chapter 11 if you'd like to. We're going to be looking at this passage on rest. Normally we have what is called the journey point, and maybe that hadn't been very clear the purpose of it. We've been doing that for almost a year now. Well, 9 months now. And the point of the journey point is to have like a 5-minute focus on what we're speaking about, our direction this week, given from another person besides myself. Because a lot of times when someone else is speaking, you hear it differently and you hear it even better. I mean, I appreciated what Tom was saying up here a few minutes ago, and I was like, wow, that was so good. And yet everything he said, I've said, and many other people have said, but he said it in such a way that it struck me differently than if you had said it or if I had said it. And so the point of the journey point is to hear that point from a kind of a different angle. We don't have a different person doing that today just because of all the things that have been going on. And so I'm going to incorporate the point, not separately, but in the sermon. We're just going to kind of slide it in all together. So we're not going to have two different talks. You know, nothing is more satisfying than good rest. How many of you wish you'd get a full night's sleep and wake up refreshed? Yeah, I didn't even ask for a raise of hands, and the hands go up. You know, everyone has a time that they can remember. If you think just a little while of when you had a refreshing, the joy of a refreshing nap or rest after a hard day's work. And of course, we all know the opposite of that, being harried, being busy, being tired, unable to sleep. And that's something no one enjoys. How did you rest last night? I stayed up all night trying to remember if I have amnesia or insomnia. You know, some can't sleep because they have insomnia. Some can't sleep because they have internet connection. Yeah, that's part of our problem. In our counseling session, when I have people have sleep problems, I ask them, when do you use your devices? Right before they go to sleep. If you're having a hard time going to sleep, and you're using your device before you go to bed, about 2 or 3 hours before you go to sleep, turn them off. You'll find you might rest better. And Jesus uses this desire of rest, to understand what a relationship is like with Him. And our society in general honors work. We really, in some ways, worship work. We worship busyness. We worship success. And we've gotten to the point where often it takes two careers to live to the standard that we've placed upon ourselves. And we have multiple labor-saving devices. Back not long ago, some can remember hand-washing clothes. I do, living overseas, hand-washing clothes. Now we have washing machines. You know my favorite labor-saving device now? I don't even know the name of it. Some of you have it. That round thing that it automatically. I remember Chad Dickey, when he got one, he was so excited about, you know, where's Chad? I saw him here somewhere, right there hiding. You know, it's a machine that runs through the house and vacuums everything. Have you seen that? Yeah, that's really neat. You just leave the house and you turn it on and hope it works while you're gone. It's amazing. Studies have shown Americans to be a sleep-deprived nation. I mean, when I just mentioned a minute ago, hands went up. Around $50 billion a year are spent on sleep aid products. A lack of sleep is linked to cancer, depression, ADHD, diabetes, other sicknesses. And we're a nation full of that. And so these words of Jesus should sound like good news. Listen to it. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. First of all, this is a call to come. You know, as I noticed, it's not a call, it's not a list of things to do. Anyone have a to-do list? A to-do list that is wearisome, that's burdensome, that has been there for months or years? Things to do. And so Jesus didn't give us a list to do. That would be tiresome. It's not come to church. It's not come to a set of doctrines. It's not come to an understanding of some deep theology. It's something that everyone can do. Anyone can do this. He just says, come. And that word come means come here. It means come on, come on. When Jesus said, follow me in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, he used the same expression that we translate it, follow me, but he says, come and follow me. And the tense is urgent. It means come now, do it now. This is the time to do it. But there's not a harsh command of coming. But it's a come in a gentle way. It's an urgent pleading. It's an offering of, I'm going to give you something you want. I'm going to give you rest. It's like the man who was walking down a dusty, hot road. And he walked past a house, and the man was sitting on the front porch, and he called, come, come rest a spell. And when the offer was accepted and a glass of cold water was given him and good conversation, the rest was complete. And this is the idea we get from this call of Jesus is, come, you're tired, you're weary, you're worn out. Just come on. Come now. Come rest a spell. But it's a call to come, and it's a call to all. He says, all who are weary. He's calling everyone. Even though it's offered to everyone, though, we know not everyone's going to come. He calls those, he says, all who are weary and burdened. And the first thing you have to realize is people are weary. People are burdened. Before you ever come to Jesus, you have to realize that I'm a weary person. I'm a burdened person. I hear people sometimes say, you know, I'm going to become a Christian one day. I'm going to follow Jesus one day, but I need to stop smoking first. I need to clean up some things in my life. I need to commit. I need to come to church for a while to figure it out. You know, I'm going to figure everything out before I come to Him. And these are just weary people doing a wearisome task that only burdens them more. I'll come when I do certain things. They'll never come if they think they must do something before they can come. The weary and the burdened. Who in this world, I ask, is not weary? Who is not burdened? When you look out amongst the world, when you see the world, and you're in this outward phase that we're going through, that we should always be in, reaching out to people, we sometimes look at people and say, well, they have it all together. They don't need the Lord. I want you to know, every person, no matter who they are, is weary and burdened. Many of them just don't know it. Weary. This word means the exhaustion that occurs after a hot and hard and sweaty work. Any of you work outside this week, the hot weather? Me and my grandsons did. We built a garden box, 97 degree weather in the middle of the day. And when we were finished, we were hot. And I remember several times one of them would say, "Whoa, this is hard. This is hot." And it was hot and hard and sweaty work. This is a weariness that Jesus is speaking of that sleep cannot take care of. It's a life of weariness. People go through life weary. In 1986, there was a strike in Philadelphia. The garbage collectors, we don't call them garbage collectors anymore. That's politically incorrect. What are they? Sanitation people. Well, they went on strike, and there was a lot of garbage around. And when it was over, they were trying to figure out where they're going to put all this garbage, and they ended up burning it and shipping it to a ship, put it on a ship, and that ship was going to find a place to dispose of it. And could not find a place. Went from port to port, only to be turned away. "We don't want your garbage." And it just went on and on for almost a year and a half, searching and seeking someplace to get rid of their garbage. And that's the way the world is. That's the way people are. They have this burden. They have this garbage that nobody else wants. And they're searching for a place to get rid of it. And everyone's turning them away. "We don't want your garbage." We live in a world that is weary. Weary of politicians failing to follow through on their promises. Weary of unsatisfying work. Weary of failure. Weary of attempting to succeed and achieve and falling short. Weary of arguing. Weary of broken promises. Weary of disciplining children and worrying about if we raise them properly. Weary of wanting to be a good spouse and failing. Weary of years of trying to overcome sin and seeing it creep back into our lives. Weary of guilt. Weary of fear. Weary of responsibilities. And Jesus says to those who are weary, "Come to me. Come to me if you're weary. And if you're burdened, come to me." It means, this word burden means an overload. It means a ship that is packed full and is in danger of sinking because it's overloaded, or an animal that you've packed too much on it and it's burdened. And the tense is one that says, this, you took this burden on in the past and you're still carrying it. It's a burden that you've carried for a long time. And for some, that burden is grief. Some of you have carried a burden of grief, sorrow of some kind of loss of a relationship, burden of sorrow, burden of guilt, the burden of, "I wish I had not done that," or "I wish I had not said that." And you're carrying that burden. Some are burdened with the fear of death. Some with the fear of failure and loss. Anxiety is carried by some. It's masked by legal and illegal drugs at times, just to try and get rid of that burden. And Jesus says to those who are burdened, "Come to me. I'll give you rest." It's a call to rest. Boy, nothing appeals more to us, more to the burden, than having rest. How many times have you said, "If I could only close my eyes and stop my mind from thinking, if I could only rest"? That's the cry of this world. That's the cry of so many people, spiritually speaking, if they could only stop thinking, if they could only rest. We live in a restless world that craves rest. We live in a world that's frantic and that runs exhausted. And Jesus says, "My rest is easy. My rest is easy. It's not hard. It's not difficult. And yet this one hope of rest, the one hope that people have, is the rest that often many run from. They run away from rest instead of running to the rest of Jesus. Come to me, he says. Come to me, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. And it's a promise. He's not saying it's a possibility. He says, this is a promise. I promise to give you rest. And it's not a promise of physical sleep or rest, but it's a life to the full. It's a refreshing relationship with the Creator of the world. It's a life of joy and peace. I like to say it this way. It's the way life was meant to be. What was life meant to be like? And Jesus came to restore the way life is meant to be lived. Oswald Chambers said it this way, speaking of the topic, I will give you rest. He says, in other words, I will stay, and this is an old English word that means sustain you with strength. I will stay you. Not I will put you to bed and hold your hand and sing you to sleep, but I will get you out of bed, out of the languor and exhaustion, out of the state of being half dead while you're alive. I will imbue you with the spirit of life, and you will be stayed by the perfection of vital activity. Just think of that. Look at those words for a moment. That's the rest that he's talking about. Not going to bed and sleeping, but a rest of life where things are going well. You're living life the way you should be living. You're not half dead while you're alive. You have the spirit of life in you, and you're excited about life. That rest comes in a relationship. He says, come and learn of me. Only a Christ-centered life will give you a life of peace and rest. A self-centered life leads you to exhaustion. If you're spiritually exhausted, you're probably self-centered. Augustine said this, Lord, thou madest us for thyself, and we can find no rest till we find rest in thee. How rested are you? How rested are you in the Lord? We're talking about outward, reaching outward to people. And let me share with you that you won't be able to show people how to rest if you're not rested in the Lord. If you're not rested in the Lord, people aren't going to see that rest, and they're not going to want what you are trying to give them. I've said it this way, if the good news isn't good to you, then it's going to be no good to others when you offer it to them. You're trying to share it, say, we have good news, and the world says, well, what's so good about it? And if you don't have an answer to that, you have no good news. Come to Jesus and have rest, and if you're not rested in your spirit, that's going to drive people away, not bring people to him. And so the first task of the weary is to take up the Christ yoke. He says, come and learn of me. This is the key. Learn of me. It's a call to Christians on a daily basis. It's a call to the non-Christians to go to him and learn from him. If you want to rest, you've got to learn of him. In Isaiah 53, he said, surely he took up our infirmities and sorrows. Surely he did. He did this. He took up our burdens. He took up our sorrows. Are we daily aware and thankful that he took our sins upon himself and he bore those sins away? Tom was talking about remembering. A lot of times we forget, how'd you say it? We forget what we need to remember and we remember what we need to forget. And that's so true. We forget that God has taken up our sorrows. He's taken up our burdens. He's taken up our sins. We forget that. And we remember we're carrying them from the past. Do you meditate on his goodness? Do you meditate on his love and his forgiveness? Do you live in the knowledge of peace and God's loving kindness that's expressed to you in Christ. And it goes without saying that this covers every strata of society, every area, rich and poor, all social strata, all racial groups, everyone we meet who needs the rest of God. Many of them just don't realize it. A lot of times we're afraid to share this rest with people who are above us socially or financially. But those people need rest as much as the very poorest. And we need to be willing to share that rest. August 15th, 1930, a 45-year-old New York State Supreme Court Justice named Joseph Crater spent an evening with his friends having dinner. They left, they went to the road, he hailed a taxi, got into the taxi, was never seen again. The FBI began trying to figure out what was going on, and they suspected a kidnapping because he was a justice. They thought maybe someone was going to kidnap him and see if they could get money from him. Nothing came out with that. They thought, well, perhaps a mafia was the problem because he had a lot of enemies, and maybe they killed him, captured him, killed him. And again, as they did the research on that and tried to find out what was going on, that led to dead ends also. There was only one clue that still remains to this day. Mrs. Crater was in a vacation home in Maine, and she stayed there for several months before coming home back to New York. And as she was going through her apartment several months later, she found a drawer that she thought was empty, but she opened it. She found stocks, bonds, cash, and a check made out to her, and a handwritten note that said, "I am very, very tired. Love, Joe." The world is very, very tired. We live in the place of rest. Christians live in the place of rest. And we have the ability to call to people and say, come, go to Jesus. He will give you rest. Are you rested? If you're not rested, learn of him. And then share that rest with others. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. If you are not rested today, if you're outside of Christ, this invitation is to you. Come. Come to him. His yoke is not burdensome. It's not heavy. Come learn of him. Come and rest. We always have an invitation song. We always have our elders come up so they can receive you, so they can talk to you. If you need to put on the Lord in baptism today, this is a great time to. We're all here in the auditorium. We don't even have to move to another room. We can take care of that right now, and you can be in his rest. And if you're a Christian and you're not rested, let me encourage you. Focus on him. Center your life on him. Think of him. Learn from him, and he will give you rest. If we can help anyone, come on.